WCBS Time, 7:45.
Good morning, everyone. This is WCBS Radio News. Kenneth Banghart reporting. The reaction comes on half a dozen fronts today in the backwash to President Johnson's strong speech, reaffirming and expanding the American role in Vietnam. From the communist world, a reflex action, a denunciation of our increased commitment as further escalation of the war. From Western nations, mixed support, most of it favorable. From the military in Washington, guarded disappointment that the buildup doesn't go far enough. From Congress, general backing for the president's program. And from the U.S. forces halfway around the world, an immediate step up in action against the Viet Cong. Mr. Johnson made it clear yesterday that we are in the fight to stay.
Three times in my lifetime, in two world wars and in Korea, Americans have gone to far lands to fight for freedom. We have learned at a terrible and a brutal cost that retreat does not bring safety, and weakness does not bring peace. And it is this lesson that has brought us to Vietnam. This is a different kind of war. There are no marching armies or solemn declarations. Some citizens of South Vietnam, at times with understandable grievances, have joined in the attack on their own government. But we must not let this mask the central fact that this is really war. We did not choose to be the guardians at the gate, but there is no one else. Nor would surrender in Vietnam bring peace, because we learned from Hitler at Munich that success only feeds the appetite of aggression.
Some dissension was voiced on Capitol Hill to the new buildup, but it was not serious disagreement with the president, rather a withholding of full support. House Republican Minority Leader Gerald Ford was one who gave the president his qualified support.
President Johnson, as commander-in-chief, has made very far-reaching military decisions in this very grave crisis. I continue to support firmness against communist aggression. However, in view of the president's military decisions, I urge that he take the lead in cutting back new domestic programs in order to marshal the nation's strength for this military effort. The nation at this time cannot afford bureaucracy as usual. Its continuation would overburden the economy, weaken the war effort, and lead to damaging inflation.
House Minority Leader Gerald Ford. In Vietnam, the first of the 4,000-man 101st Airborne Division began moving ashore at Cam Ranh Bay, 180 miles north of Saigon. And southwest of the South Vietnamese capital, SAC bombers dumped thousands of tons of bombs on a suspected communist stronghold, backing up U.S. troops launching their first large-scale offensive. Here in New York, Secretary General U Thant promised what he called most serious consideration of the president's request for new U.N. efforts to halt the fighting. And in Washington, the Associated Press has learned that the Defense Department will ask Congress to beef up regular military forces by some 300,000 men through higher draft calls and a stepped-up recruitment program. Bossism an issue again in the Democratic primary. That story in a moment.
Ma'am, it's about time you knew the best marinara sauce for your husband's spaghetti, Buitoni.
Oh, I know Buitoni marinara sauce. It's easy to serve. But what makes you say it's the best, the true Italian?
Just read the ingredients on the label.
Read the ingredients?
Yes, ma'am. It'll prove to you the quality of Buitoni. You see, the law requires that ingredients be listed in order of quantity. Shall we read together?
Imported Italian peeled plum tomatoes. Pure imported Italian olive oil.
Say, these are imported.
Ingredients imported from Italy. Where else can you get the best ingredients for a true Italian marinara sauce? Why, Giovanni Buitoni wouldn't have it any other way. No fillers, no water. In all seven Buitoni sauces, you get quality ingredients, imported ingredients.
No wonder Buitoni marinara sauce tastes so delicious.
So now, if anybody tells you Buitoni doesn't make the finest marinara sauce, you just tell them to go...
Read the ingredients on the Buitoni label.
Right.
Limited time only. Save on 15-ounce Buitoni sauces. Look for the 4 cents off right on the label. Time now is 10 minutes before 8 o'clock. A brief weather check right here. Fair most of the day, then turning cloudy this afternoon, possibly a shower or two. It has been 62 degrees. It's just gone up to 65. City Controller Abraham Beam has received another endorsement for his Democratic primary ticket, this one from Brooklyn Democratic Congressman Emanuel Seller. The backing follows a similar statement of support from Bronx political leader Charles Buckley and an indication of an endorsement from Harlem Congressman Adam Clayton Powell. One of Beam's primary opponents, City Council President Paul Scrivane, immediately charged that the controller has become what he called the boss-backed candidate in the party's fall balloting. On the Republican side, the city's GOP Executive Committee has officially endorsed the fusion ticket headed by Congressman Lindsay. And Democrat Carmine DiSapio, ousted 4 years ago as Tammany Hall chieftain, has confirmed recent reports that he will make another try at a political comeback. He failed in a similar attempt twice before. Police say they've now ruled out the possibility that a prowler or a kidnapper murdered little Edmund and Alice Crimmins, who both disappeared 2 weeks ago from their mother's Queens apartment and later were found dead. There have still been no arrests made, and police again questioned the youngsters' parents yesterday in an effort to straighten out what were called certain facts in the case. Taxi fleet owners in the city are asking the National Labor Relations Board to toss out last week's unionization vote among their drivers and set up a new election. The owners claim the drivers were pressured into supporting a union at more than half the election sites. Members of the taxi organizing committee immediately denied the charge. Sources in Geneva say the American action in Vietnam may soon result in a diplomatic casualty, the breakup of the newly resumed disarmament talks. These sources say the Russians, cool to the 17-nation negotiations anyway, may use the U.S. military buildup in Vietnam as an excuse to walk out of the talks. The sessions resumed only last Tuesday after a 10-month recess. We'll have a direct report from Geneva on the World News Roundup at 8 o'clock. The East Germans are reported ready to start tearing down the Berlin Wall and move it underground. Refugee East German soldiers say the plan is to begin encircling West Berlin with an ordinary wire fence, replacing the miles and miles of barbed wire and the cinder block and brick wall itself. But behind that innocent-looking wire barrier would be a cleared strip of land with a broad trench running down the center of it. And within the trench would be another Berlin Wall, 9 feet high, made of cement, and so constructed that no one could climb over it alone. There'd also be a road along that trench for motorized and canine communist patrols. On the far eastern side of the trench, another innocent-looking wire fence, and West Berlin authorities say the whole thing would be camouflaged and the trench would not be visible to an observer at one of the fences. To wind up the news on the lighter side, publicity men for a new shopping center near Milwaukee had just made up ads saying the project nestles among the ancient trees of historic Mequon Park, when they found out that somebody had cut down all the trees. Although the promoters seem to have had a good idea, it seems now they're really stumped. Oh, sports in a minute.
Why is Valentine beer like a rocket flight? Why is Valentine beer like an opening night? Why is Valentine beer like a marching band? A race that finishes neck and neck, or a ride on a toboggan slide. Why is Valentine beer like a bugle call? Why is Valentine beer like the fireman's ball? And why is Valentine beer like a kite in a windy sky? There's more spirit to it.
If you want to start living a life that's livelier,
give it with spirit.
Valentine beer, there's more spirit to it.
In sports, Casey Stengel, hospitalized for surgery on a fractured hip, continues to get better, but his ball club looks more like a stretcher case every day. The Cubs crushed the Mets twice yesterday, 7-2 and 9-0. This puts the Mets even deeper in the cellar, now nearly twice as far behind as any other team in the National League. The former world champion Yankees kept falling flat, too, losing to Detroit last night 4-3. The Yankees play the Tigers again today. You can hear the game here on WCBS Radio starting at 1:55. In other scores, Cincinnati 4, the Dodgers 1, Philadelphia 1, Pittsburgh nothing in 14 innings, Milwaukee 6, Houston 4, the Giants 8, St. Louis 5, And in the American League, Minnesota 8, Washington 1, Baltimore 5, the Angels 1, Cleveland 4, the White Sox 2, and Boston 6, Kansas City nothing. In a rookie game between the New York Jets and the Boston Patriots, the Jets' $400,000 quarterback, Joe Namath, fired two TD passes to lead New York to a 23-6 win. Namath showed no ill effects from the knee operation he underwent earlier this year. Now, the official weather report brought to you by Con Edison, serving New York City and Westchester with power for progress. Pressure has been turned on New York City to quickly adopt citywide water metering, a proposal Mayor Wagner says he now has under study. But that study may not be needed, since the Delaware River Basin Commission is thinking about ordering water meters in all areas that use water from the Delaware River, and that includes New York. The Commission's advisory committee made the recommendation yesterday, along with another one to hike water rates for users of the Delaware, and also to institute a program of checking for underground leaks in the area's water supply system. New York City has long resisted universal water metering, although most of the surrounding communities have it. It's estimated that it would take more than 5 years to install the meters at a cost of anywhere between $50 and $90 million. And at least one water expert, Edward Clark, chief engineer of the city's water department, is said to be questioning whether the Delaware Commission has the authority to order such meter installations. I'll have a detailed look at the metropolitan area forecast for you in just a moment.
Women, isn't defrosting the refrigerator a drag? Seriously, when it comes time to defrost, you have to take out all those frozen foods. Careful! Then scrape out the ice, or chip it, or pound. Get it out somehow! Empty the tray. Put everything back and you're finished. Until the next time. Courage, women. There is a better way. A modern frost-free refrigerator freezer ends defrosting forever. Yes, frost doesn't form in a frost-free model. And you have many wonderful, exciting new ones to choose from. So rush to your appliance dealer now. Get a frost-free refrigerator freezer, and you'll never have to defrost again. This message was brought to you by Con Edison on behalf of women everywhere.
Now, the official forecast for New York City and vicinity. Fair today, becoming partly cloudy with a chance of an afternoon shower. High about 80 to 85. Clear and cool overnight, a low near 60. Tomorrow, sunny, a high about 80, and the outlook for Saturday is fair, followed by increasing cloudiness. Winds northwest at 10 miles or less through tomorrow morning, with variable winds in the afternoon hours. Offshore from Cape May to Block Island, variable winds at 10 knots or less today, tonight, and tomorrow. Some gusts may occur early tonight during scattered and occasional thundershowers. Visibility, 2 to 4 miles, and improving to 5 miles by tomorrow. Right now at the Weather Bureau Midtown Manhattan, it's sunny. The temperature is 65, as I said, humidity 58%, barometer 30.0 inches rising, the winds north at 4 miles an hour, the THI 63, and the temperature now 65 degrees. Remember, every day the official weather report is brought to you by Con Edison, serving New York City and Westchester with power for progress. Checking back on the top stories of the hour, 101st Airborne starts ashore in Vietnam. Beam wins endorsement of Brooklyn Congressman Seller. Scrivane charges controller now is candidate of the bosses. Geneva sources say Russians may walk out of the disarmament talks. This has been WCBS Radio News. Kenneth Banghart reporting. News editor Marvin Friedman. The World News Roundup will be heard in just a moment as WCBS continues to bring you the most comprehensive 30 minutes of radio news in New York.
This is WCBS and WCBS-FM, New York.
Chicago. Loud, broad-shouldered, bustling Chicago. Have business there? Fly there on TWA. You've got a big choice of non-stop jets to Chicago on TWA. Morning, afternoon, evening, throughout the day. Go first class or low-cost coach. TWA's ready to go to Chicago most anytime you are. Fly TWA to Chicago. Nationwide, worldwide, depend on TWA.
With TWA's four new jets to Chicago, you can now choose from a total of 15 nonstops. Almost every hour, from the earliest nonstop at 7:30 a.m. to just before 11 p.m. For Starstream reservations to Chicago, call TWA at Oxford 5-6000 or see your travel agent. WCBS time, 8 o'clock. The CBS World News Roundup, presented by Kent, the cigarette that gives you good taste from the Kent filter and good vintage tobaccos. Light up a Kent, and you've got a good thing going. Now, the news.
Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend in New York with the CBS World News Roundup. Not so many years ago, the 101st Airborne Division was commanded by General William Westmoreland at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. At a critical moment during World War II in Europe, it was commanded by General Maxwell Taylor. Today, at another critical moment in another war, the 1st Brigade of the 101st, the Screaming Eagles, began arriving in the country where General Westmoreland is now the commander of all American forces, and General Taylor is now in his last day as American ambassador. The Vietnam picture, reported by Adam Raphael in Saigon.
In Vietnam leapt to life today after a week of doldrums. More American troops arrived. The 101st Airborne Brigade were welcomed at Cam Ranh Bay by their old commander, Ambassador Maxwell Taylor. His son is now a captain in the unit. These were not part of the president's announced 50,000, but of the six battalions announced by Defense Secretary Robert McNamara some weeks ago. As they came ashore, other paratroopers of the 173rd Airborne at Dien Hoa started a week-long sweep through the jungle southeast of Saigon, an area pounded by B-52 bombers from Guam early this morning. There was virtually no contact on their first day. Further north at Chulai, there was contact as the biggest ever Marine operation got underway. U.S. and Vietnamese Marines in battalion strength for the first time killed 26 Viet Cong and suffered light casualties. And in Saigon, Prime Minister Ki told Vietnam on the radio there were only two choices open to them, to fight alone and lose, or to fight alongside the U.S. and win. Adam Rayfield, CBS News, Saigon.
All this comes on the heels of President Johnson's announcement of the new measures this country will have to take in the Vietnam War. With the world still examining what Mr. Johnson said yesterday, here's the story in Washington today from Alexander Kendrick.
This is M-Day plus one in the Capitol, the M standing for mobilization, psychological, if not yet military, in the Vietnam War. And the president's policy of combined determination and restraint is generally being welcomed here, though some congressional criticism is going and may come out in debate soon, and the nation's governors flying in from their conference to the White House today will also get a chance for some dialogue. The dispatch of new troops and the doubling of the draft quotas, despite their deep meaning for many American homes, are in a sense overshadowed here this morning by the hopes for new diplomatic moves for peace. The president left several openings for such. For the first time, he said that the United States would discuss with Hanoi that regime's proposals for a settlement, and his quick dispatch of Ambassador Arthur Goldberg to the UN is seen as an attempt to get some corridor diplomacy going. The president's actual decisions fell short of expectation, but there seems no doubt that the nation is more prepared today than it was yesterday at this time for whatever may be necessary. Alexander Kendrick, CBS News, Washington.
Secretary General U Thant at UN headquarters in New York is giving most serious consideration, he says, to President Johnson's request for greater UN efforts to end the Vietnam War. Mr. Johnson's letter was delivered to Thant by Arthur Goldberg, this country's new chief delegate. Thant told Goldberg he still thinks the war must be ended by peaceful means, either by revival of the 1954 Geneva Conference or by some other agreed form of discussions. Lord Avon told the House of Lords in London that the 1954 agreements might have worked in Vietnam if the U.S. had supported them. The man who, as Foreign Secretary Anthony Eden, helped negotiate the agreements, added that sooner or later there will have to be a political settlement of the present conflict.
Your taste, brighten up your taste. Light up a Kent, you've got a good thing going. Light up a Kent for real good taste. Light up a Kent, you've got a good thing going. Good tobaccos, the Kent filter. For good taste going when you light up a Kent.
Get away from dull, flat-tasting cigarettes. Brighten up your taste with the good taste of Kent's vintage tobaccos. Flavor blended to taste milder, brighter, more refreshing.
Good tobaccos, the Kent filter for good taste going when you light up a Kent. Brighten up your taste, brighten up your taste.
Brighten up your taste. Light up a Kent and You've got a good thing going.
The Soviet Union today seems to be giving the news of the Vietnam buildup the kid gloves treatment, at least temporarily. From Moscow, here's the report of Walter Lister.
President Johnson's decision to send 50,000 more Americans to fight in Vietnam is reported in today's Moscow papers, but they aren't shouting about it. Pravda, for example, gives a brief factual account on page 3 under a small headline, Decision of the American President. The Soviet news agency TASS goes a step farther, finding a contradiction between President Johnson's message to the United Nations and the increase in American armed forces in Vietnam. These calls for peaceful settlements, says TASS, are at sharp variance with the deeds of the United States government. But all in all, Moscow's reaction so far is muted. The Kremlin probably does not want to complain too loudly about the United States' increasing commitment until a decision is made here on what to do about it. So muted reaction is not necessarily meek resignation. The Soviets are capable of increasing their aid to North Vietnam on short notice or with no notice at all. Walter Lister, CBS News, Moscow.
Comment on the president's announcement also follows a rather restrained line at the disarmament conference in Geneva, as we hear now from Daniel Shore.
Russia has reacted comparatively mildly here to President Johnson's announcement of the buildup in Vietnam. Delegate Semyon Sorokin told me the action would not help the East-West disarmament conference, which resumed Tuesday after a 10-month break, but made clear he intended to go on with the talks. Sorokin, who had planned to speak at today's session, was persuaded by Britain to hold off until he'd heard the speech of British Disarmament Minister Lord Chalfont. Lord Chalfont with a message from Prime Minister Wilson urging the 17-nation committee to make a priceless contribution to creating a better and safer world, asked that work start immediately on an agreement to halt the spread of nuclear weapons. He said the time is running out fast, and if we miss our opportunity, we could well find ourselves reaching a point of no return. Afterward, the Soviet delegate expressed himself as unimpressed by the speech, asserting he found nothing new in it. But Sorokin, who will probably speak next Tuesday, indicated he himself has no new proposals to make. As the first week of this resumed conference ends, it's produced little hope for early agreement, but at least has so far justified the idea that despite Vietnam, Russia wants to keep this channel to the West open. This is Daniel Shore, CBS News, Geneva.
Today at Falun, Sweden, a Swedish woman who is said to have been previously infertile gave birth to quintuplets. Another set of quintuplets was born only day before yesterday in Auckland, New Zealand, and there are unconfirmed reports of still another quintuplet birth in a remote village in Brazil. A hospital spokesman at Falun says all the new babies, weighing a little over 2 pounds each, are alive. The mother is reported doing well. She was treated with hormones before becoming pregnant. The chances of survival for the babies, however, appears to be slim. Now awaiting presidential signature in Washington is the milestone program of Social Security expansion and health care for the elderly, or Medicare. The Senate passed it yesterday, 70-24, thus completing congressional action. If Mr. Johnson signs the measure tomorrow or Saturday, which is the last day of July, the first of the bill's provisions will become effective the 1st of September. That's the section that liberalizes certain eligibility requirements for persons receiving Social Security.
Sooner or later, it's going to happen. Your cigarette will start to taste dull and flat. That's the time to brighten up your taste with a good taste of Kent. Yes, Kent will brighten up your taste because Kent is
good. So good. So good tasting. Good taste going when you light up a Kent. Light up a Kent.
You've got a good thing going.
Light up a Kent.
For real good taste.
Light up a Kent.
You've got a good thing going.
Good tobaccos. The Kent filter for good taste going when you light up a Kent. Good. So good. So good tasting. Good taste going when you light up a Kent.
Brighten up your taste. Light up a Kent and you've got a good thing going.
Renewed civil rights demonstrations are expected today at Greensboro, Alabama. Police there took action against them yesterday, making many arrests, but this evidently had the opposite effect from what the police may have intended, as we hear now from Bill Plant at Greensboro.
The arrest of nearly 300 demonstrators in Greensboro seems to have infused new life into the Negro protest, which had been a quiet stalemate. A march on the courthouse will be attempted later today. Last night, almost 200 more demonstrators resumed their vigil in the street where the arrests had taken place earlier. Hosea Williams, a lieutenant of Dr. Martin Luther King and a prominent figure in the Selma movement, flew to Greensboro and spoke.
These white folks must understand that we own those streets like they do. Yeah. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
All right.
Williams congratulated the Greensboro leadership for their courage in facing police tear gas on Monday and said that if necessary, he would call for thousands to come to Greensboro as they had to Selma. He then led them out of the church and into the street for the vigil. There were no incidents last night, but police and troopers will probably arrest marchers tomorrow. Bill Plant, CBS News, reporting.
Racial tension led to a fatal incident before dawn today in Americus, Georgia. Charles Smith of station WDEC reports what happened.
A 19-year-old Americus white boy, Andy Watley, died in an Albany hospital at 2 o'clock this morning after being shot in the head 2 hours earlier during a racial demonstration in Americus. Police say the large caliber bullet was fired from a passing car as the Watley youth stood in a group at a service station. Under arrest in the Sumter County Jail on open charges are two Negroes, Eddie Will Lamar, who police say was driving the car, and Charlie Lee Hopkins, also of Americus. The shooting occurred several blocks from the Sumter County Courthouse, where about 150 Negroes were bedded down in an all-night vigil protesting the arrest of four Negro women last week. The vigil ended at 3 this morning, however, and it is understood that the Negro leaders have declared a 24-hour truce with no demonstrations during that time. This is Charles Smith in Americus, Georgia.
General applause in Washington for the president's most recent pair of appointments. New man on the Supreme Court, Abe Fortas, age 55, a veteran of government service, eminent lawyer, longtime close friend and advisor of President Johnson, and now Mr. Johnson's choice to succeed Associate Justice Arthur Goldberg. And new man at the Voice of America, John Chancellor of NBC News, age 38, tapped by the president to supervise his country's worldwide radio broadcasts. Chancellor has been NBC's White House correspondent since November. He'll succeed Henry Loomis, who resigned with a charge that the Voice carried too much propaganda. Says Chancellor, "I am satisfied that the president wants the Voice to tell the truth." This is Dallas Townsend, CBS News. In a moment, the weather forecast for the New York metropolitan area.
12 and a half minutes past eight. If you've been looking for a good-tasting cigarette to brighten your taste, then it's time you discovered that when you light up a Kent, you've got a good thing going. Yes, good taste going all the way. And here's why. First, you've got Kent's vintage tobaccos. They're flavor-blended to taste mild and mellow. And then you've got the Kent filter for extra good taste. No wonder Kent is New York's largest-selling filter cigarette. So next time you buy cigarettes, remember, light up a Kent, and you've got a good thing going. The 8 o'clock temperature in New York, 65 degrees. Humidity, 58%. The barometer reads an even 30 inches and is rising. Wind north at 4 miles per hour, and the temperature humidity index, 63. The weather in Central Park at the moment is sunny, and the forecast is for fair today, becoming partly cloudy with a chance of afternoon showers. Highest temperatures, 80 to 85. Clear and cool tonight. Lowest, around 60. Fair and pleasant tomorrow. Chance of rain, about 25% today and 10% tonight and tomorrow. Winds northwest at 10 miles per hour or less through tomorrow, becoming variable in the afternoon hours. The time now is 8:14. Listen again tomorrow at 8 a.m. to the CBS World News Roundup with Dallas Townsend.